You got it under control back there, Jeremiah? What happened to us, brother? All right. Okay. All right. Well, let's figure it out and not do that again. My goodness. Am I coming out of the monitors? I shouldn't be. Okay, great. Praise God. I've never been beamed up, but... but I can imagine if you were beamed up, it sounds something like that. Amen? All right. Praise God, we can laugh. Amen? Because there is not anything perfect about us or with us, and we all make mistakes, and equipment does mess up. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, we're going to finish chapter 2 this evening. I invite you to stand as we prepare to read verses 12 through 24. Joshua chapter 2, verses 12 through 24. Amen. Joshua judges Ruth. You found it this evening? All right. The Word of God reads this in Joshua chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. It says, "Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth." Now, this is Rahab speaking to the spies that have come to spy out the land. And literally, sovereignly, God has sent them to save her household. Verse 13, "And spare my father, my mother, and my brothers, and my sisters with all who belong to me, and deliver our lives from death." So the men said to her, "Our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours. And it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. She said to them, "Go to the hill country so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go on your way." The men said to her, "We shall be free from this oath to you, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. It shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear." She said, "According to your words, so be it." So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. First time it's referred to as thread here, second time cord. They departed and came to the hill country and remained there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. Now the pursuers had sought them all along the road but had not found them. Then the two men returned and came down from the hill country, crossed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and they related to him all that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "Surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. Father God, we thank you for this story of redemption and salvation and faith in the life of one harlot, one Gentile, this woman, living on the wall of Jericho. Lord, thank you that she is a part of the genealogy of Jesus. Lord, thank you that you saved such a one like this. Gives hope, Lord, that you have come to save sinners such as us. We're thankful that we are saved tonight, that we're blood bought, that we are sealed for the day of redemption. But Lord, we know others that so desperately need a touch of your hand. They so desperately need to experience the blood of Christ. They so desperately need to get what a scarlet thread, what it represents, what it's all about, why you've come, why you're coming back. God, they need to get it before it is eternally too late. Father God, I pray as we exercise our own faith in our own life as a testimony of our salvation, may we be a witness to those that so desperately need to hear the truth. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the forgiveness that we have through your life and through your blood. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God. May he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, we've already covered in Joshua chapter 2, grace abounding to a Gentile Amorite prostitute, and how this woman experienced salvation through faith, in which her faith came to her by hearing, remember? This evening, we continue on in this chapter dealing with what? Well, we're dealing with what faith naturally does. If you have faith, if you have experienced faith, if you've been saved by faith, then friend, faith naturally does some things. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? What does faith naturally do? By faith, Rahab acted. Faith is active, friend. By faith, Rahab acted. When we say that Rahab heard with her heart as well as with her ears, we are saying that she believed in God or had faith. That's what we're saying. This was what she is praised for in the New Testament. You say, man, I've heard the name Rahab before. You certainly have. Two times, Rahab is held up as a model of faith in your New Testament. First, she appears in the list of the heroes and heroines of the faith in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Hebrews 11, 31. Second, she appears in the book of James. James chapter 2, verses 25 and 26 reads this. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Verse 25 is not talking about some kind of special salvation for her, because verse 26 clarifies verse 25. Verse 26 says, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Do you see that? Here is true faith, because her faith was a faith in action. Truly, she demonstrated her faith in God by welcoming and hiding the spies who were God's representatives. This is what the text in Hebrews, this is what the text in James gives testimony or testifies of. However, when we think about Rahab's experience, when we think about Rahab's faith in action, Rahab's faith in action did more than what we've just mentioned. Three things about that. Number one, Rahab put her life on the line. She put her life on the line. She risked her own life and the lives of her family for the spies. I want you to kind of think about Jericho for a moment. Jericho was not a nice resort-type atmosphere. It's not anything like the cruise ship that our four church families are on tonight. All right? Jericho was nothing like that. Jericho, rather, was somewhat of a military outpost. It was a rough and tumble place to be. A right assumption would be that Rahab's life was not worth, you've heard the saying, a wooden nickel. Rahab's life was not worth a wooden shekel, so to speak. If her deception to the authorities had been discovered and uncovered, if the messengers of the king had failed to accept her word that the spies had left before sundown and had entered her house and discovered the men on her roof in the flax, then she would have immediately been dragged before the king and probably would have been horribly tortured before ultimately being killed, suffering a very painful death. But that's not all. Her family would probably have been taken and killed with her. Rahab knew the risk. This was not her first rodeo. She was taking a huge risk. She risked everything for her faith in the God of the Jew. Amen? But not only did Rahab put her life on the line, secondly, Rahab rejected. The word is repudiated. It is strong rejection. Rahab rejected her own past and people. This was a military situation. These folks living in Jericho were literally in a war with the Jews. God had given the Hebrews, He had given the Israelite people, He had given them Canaan, and these folks in Jericho stood in the way of that. They know they're at war. The battle is coming. The declaration has been drawn up. Everybody's in agreement. These two groups are at war. Rahab knew it. Everyone knew it. The other residents of the city also knew that when the Jews attacked and succeeded in overrunning the city, everyone would be killed. Well, they're not taking any prisoners. The inhabitants of Canaan, now to put the shoe on the other foot, the inhabitants of Canaan would do the same thing if they were put in the same situation when it came to killing the Jews. They would kill as many of them as they could. So that is what is going on. Rahab rejected her own past and her own people. She turned a traitor for her faith. Amen? That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Humanly speaking, she would have been loyal to her own city and people, yet she rejected her past for the sake of her new faith, again, in this God of Israel. I said by faith Rahab acted. We said faith is active. We said, if it's real faith, it's got to what? It's got to have real action, right? Rahab put her life on the line. Rahab rejected her own past and people. But thirdly tonight, Rahab identified with the Jewish people. She identified with them. Now, she was not a Jew. But since she believed in the Jewish God, she now instinctively understood that her place was with this new people rather than with her own people. And that's marvelous, isn't it? In passing out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, she also passed out of the natural citizenship of Jericho into the citizenship of the children of God. In fact, since not even all the Jews believed as genuinely as she did, she actually became more Jewish based on her faith, spiritually speaking, than many of her new fellow citizens. She was eat up with it, right? Now, God accepted her new allegiance. He accepted it. Through mercy, God received her under the protection of the chosen nation and allowed her, Rahab, the Gentile prostitute, allowed her to dwell in the midst of the favored people. She didn't come in as second class. She came in like one of them. You read further into Joshua and you find out that the Gibeonites tried to deceive the Israelites, the Jews, the Hebrews, and they were found out in their deception. And they pleaded mercy on behalf of Joshua and on behalf of the people to not be exterminated and to be killed. And Joshua 9:27 says, "But Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord to this day in the place which he would choose." He let them live, but they were down here. They weren't up here where Rahab was. Rahab was at a different place. The Gibeonites were at a different place. Though she was a Gentile, though she was an Amorite, though she was a prostitute, she was immediately accepted as a full member of the favored nation. She married a Jew, amen. She became an ancestor of the Lord, praise God, amen. She married a man of the tribe of Judah named Salmon. I like him already. I love Salmon. Their son was Boaz. I had Salmon today, by the way. Their son was Boaz, who married Ruth, the Moabitess. Their son was Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of King David. Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, the genealogy of Jesus. My question is, do you get the sense of all this? Do you get the sense of all of it? Rahab in no way was given a second-class salvation. From the very beginning, she received the whole deal, the whole thing. Her position was equal to that of any citizen of Israel, and in proof of that, she was brought into a noble line of the tribe of Judah and became an ancestor of our Lord. It's powerful, isn't it? Which leads me to the last thing I want to share with you tonight, and that's this. We've covered by faith, Rahab acted. Rahab put her faith on the line. Rahab rejected her past and her people. Rahab identified with the Jewish people. But lastly tonight, I want you to see the scarlet cord or the scarlet thread. Verses 17 through 21, the men said to her, "We shall be free from this oath to you, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down and gather to yourself and to the house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. It shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear." She said, "According to your words, so be it." So she sent them away, and they departed. What I want you to notice is she immediately tied the scarlet cord in the window. I mean, immediately, brother. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Now, scarlet cord, a.k.a. scarlet thread. Scarlet, it's red. Amen? A red thread, red cord, whatever you want to call it. Rahab's experience, what's so foundational in the book of Joshua? What's so foundational in this book in the Old Testament is that Rahab's experience is parallel. It parallels our experience. Rahab's experience is parallel to that of everyone who comes to God through faith in Jesus Christ today. You got to see it. See, Rahab agrees to the scarlet cord. There's a tradition in church history going all the way back to Clement of Rome and possibly earlier that the scarlet cord represented the blood of Jesus Christ. And your pastor and other theologians, a whole lot smarter than your pastor, have talked about the cord, the scarlet cord, the scarlet thread, running all through the Bible, from Abel's sacrifice in Genesis all the way to Calvary and on through the end to Christ's second coming. Amen? A scarlet cord, a scarlet thread. I believe Rahab's scarlet cord specifically represented the blood. I say this because of the remarkable parallel between the cord that marked her house and the blood of the lamb spread on the doorpost and the lintels of the Jewish homes in Egypt when the angel of death passed over the Jewish homes and families. Now, the death angel in my Bible is referred to as the destroyer in Exodus 12:23. But listen to Exodus chapter 12, verse 7 and Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. Verse 7 says this, "Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel," that's the top one there, "of the houses in which they eat it. The blood shall," verse 13, "the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Now, Rahab agrees to the scarlet cord. Certainly, we see ourselves in this story about Rahab. Before salvation, we were not at all a part of the family of God, were we? No, we were not. We were on the out. We were not within the scope of what God was doing in saving humanity, saving human history. We, We weren't part of that. Before salvation, what is worse, we were part of the corrupt, we were part of the degenerate society in which each of us had our own reprehensible sins that needed forgiving, that needed forgiveness, right? God set His hand on us, did He not? He made His great saving acts in history known to us through a preacher or through a Sunday school teacher or through a vacation Bible school or through a radio ministry or through Billy Graham or through something on the TV. We became aware of His history, of His saving acts in history, and then He brought us into contact with His messengers and His representatives, His pastors and His church. He called forth faith in us. He convicted us unto salvation, calling forth faith in us. We had a choice. Faith by which, through His grace, we also laid our lives on the line. In a spiritual sense, we were called to reject our own people and identify with God's people. As a sign of that, the blood of Christ, like a scarlet cord, was spread over our homes and our lives, and it draws us together this evening as His church. And now we live in an alien land. Between the moment of our surrender of faith and the moment of our glorification one day with a new body, we're in the in-between in an alien land just passing through, which will be the time of our realized deliverance. We will realize our deliverance here. We have been delivered. When we close our eyes for the last time and open them on the other side of time and eternity, we will have known we've been delivered. Amen. In this important yet short interim, we are to stand alone for God, as Rahab did. And as we began all this several weeks ago, the Latin phrase comes back around, contra mundum, against the world. And that's who we are. We are against the world. The lost and dying, the wiles of the devil, the demonic, we stand against the world. Amen? We stand for Christ and against the world. So we're to be God's people in opposition to the surrounding godless culture in which we live. Contra mundum. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You, Lord, that we can be encouraged to know that You've been saving folks like us for thousands of years. Folks just like us. Through faith, just like we were saved, by the blood of the Lamb. We're thankful tonight. We're encouraged in our salvation. We're reminded again that we are bound together by the blood, by the character of God, by the life of Jesus, by His purposes on earth. We are bound together by that. Lord, help us. Help us be active people of faith. Lord, help us stand for something great and good, holy and righteous, lest we fall for the evil of the world and the lesser things of this life. Lord, give us principle and character where we lack it. Lord, convict us where we've strayed and help us tighten up and get headed back in right directions. Father God, we're thankful for the forgiveness that we have, and we're thankful for the second and third chances that You offer. May we take them. May we act upon them. May we be thankful for the grace and the mercy that's extended to us. Lord, as we come tonight, we seek to be used by You in this intercessory prayer ministry. Speak through us tonight, Lord. Help us. May we bring glory and honor to Your name through our prayer. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Any praises tonight? Yes, sir.